Eshkoach to Cantor Martin, who chanted the Haftarah so beautifully for us this morning. I want to take just a second to say something about the Haftarah. We didn't do a Torah study, but let's do a minute of Haftarah study. The question begins with, it's okay, it'll take a second. Yes, I'm going out of order. Sorry about that. I didn't tell Abby. Why we read this Haftarah on Pesach? And I want to offer two reasons. The first is that Pesach, this is not true of every Jewish holiday, but Pesach has the theme of redemption, right? That's why we talk about next year in Jerusalem, and we open the door for Elijah. There's a clear messianic theme. It's why at the beginning of Pesach, we read the Haftarah from Malachi that says what's going to happen when the Messiah comes. And this Haftarah does the same. It actually offers the most famous prediction for when the Messiah comes. What's the lion going to do when the Messiah comes? Right, the lion's going to lay down with the lamb. You know, Woody Allen said one of them won't get much sleep, but nonetheless. But the idea is there, and actually, that joke, the idea that the world could never really be that way, that the lion couldn't actually lay down with the lamb, is why Maimonides gives this an allegorical interpretation. He says what it really means is that big nations and small nations will live together in peace. That's what lions and lambs are. Not, and this is part of an argument that goes all through the Jewish tradition about whether when the Messiah comes, the whole order of nature will be changed. Will the world be completely different? Will vicious animals no longer be vicious? Will lions and lambs actually, like they do sometimes on those internet things that people send you, right, lie down together and become friends? Or, in fact, does it just mean that the world will be as naturally good as it is possible to be? And that's why Maimonides, who is a naturalist, who says the order of nature won't be overturned, that's why he ends his comment on the Messianic Age and ends his great code of law, the Mishneh Torah, with another line that we find in our reading this morning, which is that knowledge of God will fill the earth as the waters fill the sea. And that's Maimonides' image, is the reason that the Jews will do well in the Messianic Age is because everyone will come to the Jewish people to learn about God, and we already know about that, right? So it's this image of Ki Mitzion Tetzei Torah, that from Zion will go the Torah, and everyone will want to know Torah because everyone will want to know God. The second reason, though, which is also very interesting and worth noting, why we read this Haftarah, is found at the middle of the second chapter of the Haftarah, which is chapter 11. It says, listen to this, in that day, the Lord will apply his hand again to redeeming the other part of his people from Assyria. Remember, Assyria at this time, not to remember, but I'll tell you that Assyria at this time was about to destroy the northern kingdom. So for a brief while, there was a respite, but eventually Assyria came and destroyed the northern kingdom, which is when the 10 lost tribes moved to Utah. or wherever they went. That was when the 10 tribes got lost, when the Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom, and all that was left was Judah, that is, the southern part of Israel, which survived for about 150 more years. Anyway, it says, God will redeem the rest of his people from Assyria and also from Egypt, Patros, Nubia, Elon, Shinar, Hamat, and the coastlands. So if God's redeeming people from all these empires, what does it recall to the prophet? What moment in human history? When does God redeem his people from a mighty empire? Hint, today, right? Pesach. In other words, what the prophet is saying is there will be other exoduses, or exodi. There will be other exoduses, that the exodus from Egypt was not a one-time event, but rather a historical paradigm. And God will redeem his people from this place and this place and this place. And especially for those of you that remember the Soviet Jewry movement, it's exactly the same idea. Remember how the language of Exodus dominated the Soviet Jewry movement, and Passover was by far the most important holiday for Soviet Jews? The same idea here, which is it's not enough to have one Exodus because Jews keep getting caught in alien lands. You have to have them again and again and again, and it goes all the way back to biblical times. God promises, essentially, that there will be a series of exoduses throughout Jewish history. And remember that the ingathering to Israel presupposes an exodus from other places. You can't have an ingathering without an exodus. We only talk about the ingathering, but we have to think about the exodus too. Just like Heschel says very beautifully, that when you have a revelation of God at Sinai, you only reveal what was previously hidden, which means God was hiding in some sense before God was revealed. There was an exodus before there was an ingathering. There's a sort of systolic, diastolic movement to Jewish history, right? We go out and we go in. And so for all those reasons, for the messianic idea, for the exodus idea, for its paradigm for Jewish history, we read this on this, the last day of Pesach. And I just wanted to call your attention to the themes because they weave throughout not only the Jewish year, which they do, but especially this overlong Jewish holiday. I mean, this Jewish holiday. Page 100.